أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. الحمد لله، we reached this mubarak 16th night of Ramadan. In the Salat al-Taraweeh, at least over here, mashallah, we've crossed the three-quarters mark of the Qur'an, mashallah, by Allah's fadl. This is a ni'mah that we have to hold on to and that we have to preserve and that we have to magnify inside of our hearts. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, "Man qama Ramadana imana wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi." The person who stands the nights of Ramadan in faith and hope for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of his sins that came before will be forgiven. Allah ta'ala write us from amongst those. Allah ta'ala write us from amongst those people. Also the fast, let it not wear on you. Keep its sanctity, keep its vigilance. And if a person hasn't been doing so, what's gone is gone. Let a person repent to Allah ta'ala for it and from it, but keep the sanctity of the fast from here on out. They're just a few days. Ayyam ma'dudat. They're just a few days. And then they're going to be over like the rest of the days of our life. So we continue reading about the history of the Khulafa, the series of rebellions that the 11 detachments of one army were sent out to deal with. So we read about Aswad. Yemen was conquered during the era of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Ba'dhan al-Farisi, who was working on behalf of the Khusro, the Kisra, the Persian emperor, was the governor of Yemen. He embraced Islam, keeping his base in Sana'a. When he passed away, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam divided up the provinces as follows. He appointed Ba'dhan's son Shahr bin Ba'dhan over Sana'a, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari over Ma'rib, Amir bin Shahr al-Hamadani over Hamdan, and who inhabited the eastern region of Yemen, Tahir bin Abi Hala over Aq and Ash'ariyun, Khalid bin Sa'id bin al-As over the area between Najran and Rima, and over Zabid, Amr bin Hazm over Najran, Ziyad bin Labid al-Bayadi over Hadramaut, Urkasha bin Thawr over Sakasik and Sukun, two tribes belonging to Kinda who lived north of Hadramaut, and Muhajir bin Umayyah, the brother of the mother of the believers, Salama, radiallahu ta'ala anha wa anhu, wa anhum ajma'in, over Bani Muawiyah, who were from Kinda, although he did not go out to his province until after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away because of an illness from which he suffered. In the meantime, Ziyad bin Labid saw to Muhajir's province while Ya'la bin Umayyah attended to his army. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an educator who moved between the provinces. This is also a very important appointment that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. And it's in the episode of Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal leaving for Yemen that the famous statement of Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal was made, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you're a judge amongst them, how will you decide? He said, according to the book of Allah. He says, if you can't find it there, then what? Then according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then if you don't find it there, then what? He says, ajtahidu bi ra'yi wa la alu. He said, I will exert myself in finding the correct opinion, and I won't slacken in that exertion. And so he said then that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tapped his chest and said, Alhamdulillah alladhi waffaqa rasula rasulillahi ila ma yurdhi wa kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tapped my chest and said, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah who enabled the messenger of the messenger of Allah to that thing that pleases the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is where we get the word ijtihad from. And I remind myself and others that ijtihad is what? Ijtihad is first in those things that there is no clear statement by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing is what? is that you can't slacken there in order for it to be called ijtihad. This word is misused by so many people so much to the point where it's become a joke. You can't slacken therein. If you didn't bother to learn Arabic, it's not ijtihad. If you haven't learned what the other ulama said about it, it's not ijtihad. If you haven't learned what the imam said about it, it's not ijtihad. If you don't understand the Quran forward and backwards properly, it's not ijtihad. If you don't understand the hadith forwards and backwards, it's not ijtihad. And if you don't understand how to think or the Arabic language, it's not ijtihad. It's just nonsense, no matter what people say about it. At any rate, so this was the setup the Prophet ﷺ made for the management of Yemen, both politically, economically, materially, as well as spiritually. Before the Messenger of Allah ﷺ passed, a man from Ans by the name of Abhala, with the patronym of Dhul Khimar, but popularly known as Aswad, revolted in Yemen. He claimed prophethood. Madhij rallied around him and they rushed upon Najran, expelling the governor Amr bin Hazm and Khalid bin Sa'id bin Al-As, both of whom headed to Medina. Aswad then went for Sana'a with his army of 700 people, killed Shahr bin Badhan and took hold of the city and married Shahr's wife. He then took possession of the entire region between Sana'a and Hadramaut. Hadramaut is the eastern part of what's now Yemen. Although traditionally it's considered a different country, but it's the eastern part of what's now Yemen. It's basically between what traditionally was considered Yemen and Oman. He took the entire region between Sana'a and Hadramaut, extending to the outskirts of Ta'if in the north and Bahrain in the east. So he took over basically like a large quadrant of the Arabian Peninsula. He simply could not be controlled. Mu'adh bin Jabal fled and met with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu at Ma'rib radiallahu anhuma, where they both proceeded to Hadramaut, where Mu'adh settled down amongst the Sakasik and Abu Musa amongst the Sukun tribes, Tahir bin Abi Hala amongst the Aq. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard about all of this, he sent messages to Abna'. The descendants of the Persians in Yemen, and to Abu Musa, Mu'adh, and Tahir, that they should give battle to Aswad and get rid of him, either by assassination or by open combat. Fayruz and Dadaway were amongst the Abna who responded positively to this message and took steps to kill him. The wife of Aswad, previously the wife of Shahr bin Badhan, helped them in this, and they attacked at night, and Fayruz killed him. The next morning they called out the Adhan, a clear rallying cry to all the Muslims. Upon hearing it, the people crowded together. Some followers of Aswad captured the children of the Muslims and left the city, leaving many of their own children behind. The two sides began to correspond with one another, each side returning the captives that it had. The followers of Aswad were left wandering between Sana'a and Adan, unable to seek refuge. The governors of the Prophet ﷺ returned to their respective provinces. They all agreed that Mu'adh should lead the people of Sana'a in prayer as the governor of Sana'a, as Shahr had been killed. He was to do so until an order from the Messenger of Allah ﷺ came. They sent all this news to Medina, but by the time it reached the Messenger of Allah ﷺ had passed away. So it was the first good news that came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When the news of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's passing spread, Qais bin Abdi Yahuth renounced Islam and contacted the defeated armies of Aswad, who rallied around him. Qais plotted to kill the senior of the Abna, Fayruz, Dadaway, and Jushesh, and prepared a feast gathering for them in order to get rid of them. He succeeded in killing Dadaway, but the other two had survived, so he went in pursuit of them, but they sought refuge with the Khawlan tribe. Qais returned to Sana'a, where he claimed exclusive power over the city, plotting against the families of the Abna, expelling them, driving them out of Yemen by land and sea, leaving them vulnerable to robbers. When Fayruz heard of this, he resolved to wage war against him and sought the help of Aq and the sons of Aqil ibn Rabi'a, who all came to his aid. They rescued the families of the Abna whom Qais had driven out and killed the men around them. They then went to Fayruz and joined him in battle against Qais and his men, attacking and defeating them. It was at this time that Muhajir bin Abi Umayyah, the commander sent by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to fight the armies of Aswad and help the Abna, had came to them. Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl, who had completed his task in Oman and Mahra, had arrived shortly then thereafter him. They both helped the Abna against the armies of Qais bin Abdi Yahuth until they were defeated. They captured Qais and Amr bin Ma'di Karab al-Zabidi, who had followed Aswad in renouncing Islam, and sent both of them as captives to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "O Qais, you slaughtered the servants of Allah and took refuge not with the believers but with apostates." Qais denied having perpetrated any crime against Dadaway, and indeed there was no proof because he was assassinated surreptitiously. It was like sneaky assassination. Abu Bakr therefore withdrew his accusation and then addressed Amr bin Ma'di Karab, saying, "Are you not ashamed that you are defeated and captured every day? If you were to help this religion, Allah would elevate you." He replied, "I most certainly embrace this religion and will not renege." They both returned to their families as believers. Muhajir bin Abi Umayyah then pursued the remnants of the armies of Aswad, slaying them wherever they found them, until they were left absolutely powerless. The reign of Aswad from its beginning until his destruction lasted for about 4 months. So this is one of the fada'il of the people of Yemen, is that not only did they accept Islam without any army having to come knock on their door, they basically had to get together and expel Aswad on their own. They didn't receive any help from Medina and from the companions radiallahu anhum until very late. And they actually dealt with Aswad on their own. And then the remnants of them that rallied around Qais bin Abdi Yahuth, then by that time, that's when the army of Medina was able to reach there. And that was after dealing with other things, so just fragmentary remnants of it reached there. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them. Allah ta'ala helped them. They're brave people, mashallah, and they make us proud. Of course, the sectarian issues between the Houthis and things like that, is those are issues well known. We don't vouch for or clear anything wrong that a person says, teaches, or believes. But they're proud people. That the Ummah is proud of them for being the only ones who stuck up for the people of Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them madad and guide them from whatever error they may be in. Kinda is a huge tribe. Kinda reneged in the time of Aswad because of a dispute that occurred between them and Ziyad bin Labid al-Bayadi al-Ansari about a sum of money that Kinda felt they were owed by Banu Amr bin Muawiyah when they released it, when it was wrongly considered charity. They'd given it out as charity. Ziyad waged war against them and defeated them. Banu Muawiyah and Kinda accepted the refusal to pay zakat, but Shurahbil bin Simt and his son did not. They apprised Muawiyah of the repugnance of free people defecting. Anyone with self-respect holds on to their position even on a doubtful matter and refuses to change it for something clear out of fear of scorn. How then should they shift from what is good, seemly and true, to that which is false and repugnant? By Allah, we will not take our people in that direction, they said. Father and son went to Ziyad and said, "You must attack them at night, for if you do not, we fear they will run away." They attacked them at night whilst they were in their places of safety, seizing their kings, putting them to death, and those who were able to flee did so. The Muslims went back with booty and captives, passing Banu al-Harith ibn Muawiyah, who were also in their places of safety. Ash'ath bin Qais was one of them, and he mounted an attack on the Muslims and rescued the captives from them. At this point, Ziyad wrote to Muhajir asking for his assistance, so he appointed Ikrimah radiallahu anhu as deputy and hastened with a group of men to Ziyad. Banu al-Harith anticipated defeat and sought refuge in Najr, a fort that belonged to them, where the Muslims besieged them. When things became unbearable, they came out and attempted to fight, but it proved hopeless, and they returned to their fort. Ash'ath then sent a message suing for peace in return for the fort with whoever was inside, providing that 9 leaders be given amnesty. He forgot to include his own name, however. The Muslims entered the fort, took on the warriors, captured them, and took spoils. those who were to be given amnesty were lined up, but Ash'ath was not amongst them. Muhajir wanted to kill him, but his companion suggested that he be sent to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who could then decide his faith. So he sent him to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu pardoned him. Later on, Ash'ath proved his worth in the conquest of Iraq. It is here that the stories of the apostates come to an end. The Muslims desiring to emulate their pious predecessors will understand from this that the believer does not show weakness, no matter how great an enemy is in number. The Muslims will not be overpowered on account of their small number and cannot be defeated unless they follow their desires and deviate from the straight path. Consider Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first Khalifa amongst the Muslims, who faced enmity of all the Arabs, while he and his companions were like a strand of white hair on a black ox in their small number. Yet this did not stop him and his supporters helping the deen of Allah, waging war on those who rejected him. Instead, he had full confidence in the promise of Allah Ta'ala when he said, "If you help Allah, he will help you and keep firm your steps." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore rewarded him with great help and manifest victory, and all of the Arabs and their tribes had yielded to him. This is the essence of Islam and to Iman.